Welcome to Delivering the Goods, a podcast that steps into the shoes of logistics and last mile operators. From the latest technologies and solutions to the biggest industry trends, you have come to the right place for everything logistics and last mile. Now let's get into this all new episode with your host, Mark Babin.
Yes, and hello to everyone. You are listening to Delivering the Goods, and I'm your host, Mark Babin. Thank you for being with me today for this great episode where we will be looking at a great success story with Food Notify, a central merchandise management platform that allows you to network, synchronize, and automate almost all of your company's goods-related processes, from warehouse management and product ordering to recipe management and menus. Food Notify connects you directly with your suppliers and cash register system. In this episode, we will be speaking with Thomas Primus, co-founder at Food Notify, to get the lowdown on how they have navigated the logistics industry in this difficult time, to bring their solution to market, and how they see it will continue to develop over the next number of years. So sit back and enjoy this all new episode and great story. Catch you on the other side for a recap and a breakdown of our talk today. Enjoy, everyone. Thomas, it's a pleasure to have you. Great to see you.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
How's your day going so far?
Oh, it was pretty nice. Thank you very much.
Keeping busy over there?
Yeah, we are healthy. That's the most important
thing. I was going to say, you guys, you're keeping healthy as much as possible.
Absolutely, yeah.
Great. Good to hear. Well, thank you for being here. Really appreciate it. So before we jump into the exciting and refreshing success story and more on that later, I'm sure the audience would love to know, and I'd love to know, what brought you and Christina, your co-founding partner, to create Food Notify? I know that you came from corporate backgrounds previously. Absolutely. So I'd love to know what created that. That's quite a jump.
Yeah, I always was interested at some point to do my own business. So after studies in Vienna, I went into the banking industry and I was working for investment banks for a couple of years. Also, there was my wife working in the same industry. So we came together at one point and decided to, spend, now she's my wife, and we also started the company, but she was moving in later on. So we are four founders. There is one co-founder, who is responsible for all the technical stuff, the CTO. And then Adnan is responsible for the whole design stuff. So the four of us, we founded the company 7 years ago already. So it's a long time.
Wow, that's amazing. And since then, obviously, tons of growth. But you're finding it was quite a smooth transition for you to come into this space?
No, it was not really smooth. The initial idea was completely different. So we were looking to a market where I was in a restaurant with Christina, my wife, and as a banker, you are used to use your, technical stuff. So you need to have Bloomberg, you need to have databases and stuff, and you have a CMS and all that around so that you can work properly. And I missed that in the gastronomy. So after a discussion with some founder of a restaurant, and he told me about the allergen labeling laws and that he doesn't know exactly what he has in the inventory and stuff like this. So I was examining the market. For the first iteration was the labeling of the allergens. And that's why we created recipe management. And after recipe management, they followed the marketplace that you can buy the goods. And after the marketplace inventory, ERP solution was done. So, yeah,
it just sort of created itself as you went forward.
Yes, exactly. And it was really, we are always customer centric. I think this is very, very important to do it like this. And also, of course, where's the money? You have to follow the money somehow. In order to keep your company going, and of course, also the growth, and but it was quite. I love it. I mean, to be honest, it was the best decision in my life to quit banking and to found their own company.
It's almost the true Netflix story. these days?
I don't know. I'm not a billionaire right now, so I'm working on it.
Not yet. Next year's your year. I feel it. Excellent. So a little history for the audience. Obviously, Food Notify and Anyline, we've been working together for quite a while, since 2017.
Was
it earlier than that? I knew the success story we'd originally published was from there, so it's probably from even before that.
Yeah, that's
you're right. So obviously we've been working together since then, and we developed, helped you develop a mobile data capture solution back then for product scanning, right? Mm-hmm. Right on remembering that.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'd love to know how, back then that digitization, was able to help you get to where you are today, and specifically looking at, how it made a difference in the way that you enabled your customers and users to capture data.
Well, it's really important to have the possibility to scan the EIN codes of the products, of the food stuff. If you have an ERP solution, you need to have, you need to know what you buy. So for example, if somebody is not really speaking the language, and this is a good example that you have often in restaurants or in the hotel industry, you also have people from different countries who are not able to maybe speak the language. And now they see that the milk is too less there in the inventory, and they need to buy it, but they don't know the exact shop where they can buy it and stuff like this. So the scanning solution gives us the opportunity to solve that. So you just scan the product, and then you're okay. I can buy it from there and there and there. So you give all the possibilities, and then just choose the right. Or it automatically choose because you scan it, and this is really, really good.
So it helps to transcend all the different people or perhaps the language, as you said, but it really takes out that complex nature, simplifies the process.
Absolutely.
And also, makes it seamless.
Exactly. So it's one, it is used for procurement, but it's also used for checking inventory. So if you want to know how much you have of that, or you want to count it, just scan the product and say, okay, I have 5 packs of milk, for example. And also it's used for if you get the foods from your supplier. So for the exchange of that data, so that you know, okay, I now got it from my supplier and now it's in the inventory. So for booking it around, so that you know where the foods are.
Yeah, where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Excellent. So coming off that previous question, from how you got to where you are now with the technology that you were using, I'd love to take a look at, obviously, this new and refreshed success story. As you know, and as our audience will know, we recently upgraded our barcode scanning capabilities, something we are very proud of. And I know our team has worked tremendously hard on to have over 40 different types of barcodes that our technology can now scan accurately and quickly, which is a huge step up from where we were. It's really made us a best-in-class solution. So knowing this, I'd love to get an impression of how you think that this upgrade will support future growth. Obviously, having more types of barcode available to scan readily can only help you guys scale as well, to be able to scan more, have less options that don't scan.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Of course, we have a lot of different products, and also we are now talking with big hotels, and they also start to order not only food and drinks, they also start to order chemicals or, I don't know, sheets for the hotel rooms, any types of stuff. And if you're doing an ERP solution, you need to have the possibilities of also scanning different products, not only the normal barcodes from the foods, but also different types of barcodes. So for us, it's the partnership is really, really good. And of course, the expanding of the capabilities are also in favor for us. That's also why we are always looking for partners in everything we do, which are also like driven. And I also want to have a state of the art solution, you know? And if I work with somebody who's also having that the state-of-the-art solution is always working on the state-of-the-art, that's good, because then we always have the new technology.
So having partners, like you said, that are constantly pushing the boundaries allows you to do that and move beyond a single
Exactly.
Industry, like you said, hotel sheets or around the world, there are going to be different types of things that need to be scanned. So this just opens that for your team. That's great to hear. Well, I'm glad that that's working. As I mentioned, we're obviously very proud of it, and to be able to support you, to be able to scale. I mean, that's a partnership made in heaven. That's more. What more could you ask for?
Absolutely. That's true.
Perfect. So I'd love a little bit of insight. Obviously, you went with the mobile solution to be able to capture data from a mobile platform, as opposed to the traditional dedicated devices, something we see in supply chain quite regularly, more of a classic option. I'd love to know why you went the mobile route and how that sort of changed the growth of the company.
Well, it's actually, as you know, with the growth of the mobile market and with the mobile phones, everybody has a mobile phone. And knowing that, it's always the question, how can I be sure that my scanner is even charged? I think you agree that everybody now is really trying to have his phone always with full battery, because it's a communication tool which we are using everywhere, every time, and we want to have it have a battery life, you know. So also knowing that, we said, okay, we can give any employee from any company the free app, because the app is free, so we don't charge anything for the app, because we have no discussions with, you know, between the employee and somebody who is in charge of the company, because it's cost free, but you can use it and you can give it anybody, and it gives you the possibility, no matter what language you speak, because we have it in English and German, of course. But scanning option is really, really important in order to get to know the products and to scan the products and to know what you order and stuff. So
the fact that it's already there in people's pocket.
That is exactly the way we wanted to have it like this, because we don't want to have excuses from the employees, and you don't have any discussion, because it's free. You can download it, you can use it,
and that's it. Simple.
And you never have to take care about it, because usually you have these old scanners, but you have to charge them. You have to, you know, then. Who had it the last time? Where is it now? I don't find it. And all that stuff, just get rid of it.
Yeah, you even see today, even in the modern world, it's shocking, but you see like service people with belts on with two or three different devices.
Exactly.
For a specific single task. Mm-hmm. And to have a phone in your pocket that already can do that, I mean, your technology is essentially unlocking a major function of their mobile phone that they're busy watching Netflix on.
Yes, that's true.
So it gives them the capability to make it useful. And from a work perspective, yeah, it's great to see that. And there hasn't been, I guess, from your perspective, the feedback you've received, obviously it's encouraging. People are happy to embrace the mobile element of it as well.
Yeah. And it's a major aspect also of the efficiency. You know, it's really easy. You have it on your own. You have it always in your pocket. So there's no excuse not to use it.
No excuses. I love it. That's the new tagline. No excuses. That's brilliant. Perfect. Thank you. So taking a step back, switching gears a tiny little bit. Now, obviously, having someone such as yourself here who has so much experience in this industry, you've learned so much, as we were saying, and having to develop and constantly grow on what you had. I know I'd be disappointed, and the audience would be disappointed if it didn't take advantage of that skill set and that knowledge that you have. So on that, looking back at your time in the industry, how have you seen it evolve? And specifically, what are the biggest changes you've seen?
Well, what really, really was a major step was the quality and availability of food data. So this is getting better and better, although the suppliers still struggle a lot with it, because we are a major player here in Austria and also in Germany, also a little bit in Switzerland. And in Germany, the quality really was rising in the last couple of years. And I think now that a lot of people who sell foods and drinks and stuff like this, they now understood that they need to invest also in digitalization. It's like the same if you want to buy a new lorry or whatever, or truck. Also to invest in digitalization, it's really, really important, because there are so many companies now which are also tackling the market. And I always say we are between the supplier and our customers, the hotel and gastronomy industry, but we are partners on both sides. For the hotels and for the gastronomy, we help them to be more efficient. We help them to get in the black box of what happens after procurement, because nobody knows. You get the stuff, the articles in the warehouse, but what will happen after? So you have a recipe, you produce the recipe, then you have a cake maybe or whatever, and you sell it. But you need to know what is happening in the whole process with all these goods. Also to know where can I save, what is more time consuming, what not. And you are much more able to be more transparent in your own processes. And if you know that, you have already won, because you can now steer better. And this is exactly what we are doing. I think that because of digitalization in these gastronomy businesses, and even these days with COVID, it's really, really hard for them right now because they lock down. We also see a rise of the ghost kitchens. It's really, really enormous, the growth this year. And also, for of course, who is also profiting from that point of view are the suppliers like Delivery Hero and all the big companies. They are getting a lot of the share of the value, so around 15% to 30%. And recently, San Francisco also said, okay, 15% is the maximum. So there is also governments now involving in the process. And what we also see are virtual trademarks. So you have a restaurant, maybe, I don't know, burger, normal restaurant, and you're selling tacos, or you sell sushi even. So you can do it, but most of the people are now... they need to find different ways because revenue is not there anymore. People are not allowed to go in the restaurants. So they need to push the business somehow, and also to keep their employees. This is also a big problem because people are getting on the street and having no job anymore. And we need to avoid it. And I think ghost kitchens are a good way to find the way through this crisis and through this pandemic.
I'd love to just come back to that transparency point you mentioned. Now, obviously, having things be tracked easier throughout the supply chain will naturally increase the transparency. Is that something that you've really seen from when you got into the industry to, let's say, pre-COVID? Because I think COVID just dumped out the box and mixed up the pieces of the puzzle a bit. But even, I mean, that even embraces more need for transparency that COVID's brought to our attention. But did you see really an increase in the transparency of goods?
Absolutely, because also it's also that consumers are asking for the transparency as well in the restaurant. So if you're sitting in a nice restaurant and you're ordering a steak, most of the people want to know where it's coming from, because it makes a difference. And I think we saw it's quite good in the supermarkets, where a lot more regional products are now offered. That was not the case 10 years ago. So the same thing I see will develop the restaurant industry as well. And therefore, you need to have this transparency, because it's like kind of story you're telling on the menu. When you go into the restaurant and you see that they are capable to tell you where they're buying from, and that there's a nice story behind it, because the cow was living outside in the Alps. It's much better feeling for you as the consumer as well. And I think that will shape the future of the restaurant industry tremendously in the next couple of years.
I can actually remember reading a menu. Where were we? I think it was in Innsbruck. And there was a menu that had where the items came from.
Yeah.
And it just, there's more to it than just an item anymore. It becomes so much more, and it becomes an emotional attachment.
Exactly.
Or memory. So I love that. That's a great point to mention. So coming to the present moment and perhaps looking more towards the future, how do you see the industry changing as we move forward through these challenging times and through this year? I'd love to know what you think the upcoming challenges and even the opportunities will be.
Well, I think that individual online shops will be replaced by integrated central platforms, where the coordination of supply and demand and other services take place. That's exactly what we do. And I think that the industry will change in that direction, because the customers, franchise or big hotels with a lot of locations, they need some steering instrument. And I'm always mentioned the dashboard. If you're in the headquarters, you want to know what's going on. And you want to, you can, now you are now able to get the data on the screen. And I think this is, on the one hand, it's extremely motivated to see where you are. And on the other hand, you can immediately see where there are some failures or where is data which is not, I cannot interpret it rightly, or it's different than before, or there is a last month it was very good and now it's bad. So there must be something. And usually you don't see that, because you're for 10 years ago, or even now, a lot of companies work blind. So they see it afterwards, but afterwards it happened already. So you cannot do anything about it. When you have the data right here at every time on your screen, you can immediately change it, or you can at least ask where this is coming from. Why I have bad figures? Why is it not in place? And also, I think that after the crisis and after the pandemic, a lot will be consolidated in the industry, because I think we are living in a world which is constantly changing anyway. So I'm not a guy who is looking what was. I'm always looking into the future and what can I see. And also I ask my customers on a monthly basis or when we are in contact with what they think, what direction we are going and what is important for them. And there will be a lot of more big players. And I also think that it's like in America, we have a lot of big chains. And now I also have sensed that a lot of our customers are now buying, even locations, searching for, also getting good employees, because a lot of people couldn't afford it. So it feels like, even if it's not maybe very nice, but it feels like also cleaning and restart of the whole industry. And when you take a look at the digitalization of that industry, okay, you have the POS systems, but a lot of people do not use the ERP systems because they're complex. You need to educate them a lot in order to do it, you know. And our solution is pretty different, because we have roles. So as a chef, you can put your recipes, you can order the goods, and that's it. As a controller, you can see all the what's happening. You can see the figures. You can create your own dashboard. And that's, I think, the way we work already changed. When I also take a look back in my time at the banking, we didn't have Slack. We didn't have communication tools. And now the corporate world followed. But the startups are using this already since 10 years. And now the corporates follow. So there's always a gap between these times, and there's always constant change. So I think there's nothing bad or good in it. It's just the way life is.
As simple as that. And do you feel the way that you've structured the company, say going into 2020 with the simplistic approach, having everything consolidated, having sort of that strong base with tools, partnerships that help you grow, do you feel that's put you in a better spot to go forward?
Of course. I think this crisis or times when you struggle, it always brings something good. You know, what for me personally, I have a lot more life quality because I don't travel so much as I used to be. I was traveling a lot. So I was a lot of each week in Germany and there, but now I can do everything via Teams. I feel that I have more freedom, and also our product was more in focus this year, also because of the pandemic, and of course some of our bigger accounts in sales stalled now because they just wait until the crisis is over, or they are not invest so much because they don't want to take the risk. They need liquidity now. It's more important than anything. And I understand that, but we took the time to question ourselves where we are with the product. We really managed to develop a lot and grow also from my point of view. Also, the team is fantastic. So we moved together more closely, I would say, because we all somehow involved in that stuff. But people are really fantastic, and I'm really love to work like this now. And it's flexible. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole world is learning that that flexibility is something which we need to have always. As a corporate, you have to you know it by yourself. As Anyline, you also had a great history until now, and also we love to work with a company like yours because you're also growing, and you also entered now in the US market, which I really liked. The last time I saw Lucas, the CEO, was actually at the US embassy, and it was really nice to talk with him and to see how the company is going forward, and also the product. And this is what I think is very, very important also for a partnership.
Mm. Yeah, it always comes down to strong partnerships and the people behind the companies mm-hmm. that you're partnering with. Yeah, I love it. It's a great way to finish this interview on. It always comes back to the team Absolutely. They have in place. Yeah. And to value, again, like you said, the freedom, the space, the balance, but to trust in the team to give
Absolutely.
You the best.
Absolutely. And also we saw that communication is so important, and you cannot communicate less. You just need to inform the team. You need to keep in touch with the team all the time. And when you do that, it's really good because you get a lot back.
Yeah, it helps those shine who are ready and are really yeah. embracing the team. That's perfect. Well, great. That wraps up all the formal questions I had. Anything before we finish up that you'd like to add?
No, I just appreciate the partnership with Anyline, like I said. I hope that we will have both a lot more years to come to be number one standard in the industry. That's exactly the same goal. Yeah. I want to do it in the hospitality and gastronomy industry, and you're going to learn every mobile phone reading.
That's the goal.
And that's really good.
Perfect. Yeah, partners helping partners, mutual growth and success. Absolutely. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Such a great success story, and one that seems to have a great grasp on how the market will evolve over the next years. A big thank you to Thomas and Food Notify for this episode and for such valuable information that they shared with us today. Of course, if you have any questions that you would like to ask, or perhaps you want to simply add to the conversation that we've had, please feel free to reach out to Thomas or myself. Our LinkedIn addresses are just in the description of the episode below, so please have a look. And don't hesitate to get in touch. You can also find more information about this on our website. That's anyline.com/industries/logistics. So with that, we'll close the lid on another great episode of Delivering the Goods. Thank you all so very much for being with me on the discussion, and we'll catch you on a new episode very soon. Until then, have a great day, everyone. Talk to you soon.